From the studios of Boise State Public Radio News, I'm Gemma Gaudette. This is Idaho Matters. Idaho healthcare providers are facing critical challenges from threats to Medicaid to workforce shortages, even cyber attacks. So what does this mean for your healthcare? Well, these issues will be discussed during a City Club of Boise forum on August 22nd. And joining us now to talk more about this are Dr. Patrice Burgess, the Chief Medical Officer with St. Alphonsus, and Tony Lawson, Vice President of Government Relations for the Idaho Hospital Association. Both will be panelists during that August 22nd discussion. And I want to welcome both of you to the program right now.
Thank you, Gemma.
Dr. Burgess, let's start the conversation with you. How critical are not just hospitals, but healthcare providers to our population?
Well, I think very essential, obviously, to keep folks healthy and keep people able to work and provide for their families. As I'm sure all of us have experienced, when you're sick or injured, you really need that help so that you can continue to function. So I think we're pretty critical.
And Tony, with that said, what about the economics of all of this? I mean, how does healthcare play a role really when it comes to just how rapidly our state is growing?
Yeah, I think we always think of hospitals and providers as that safety net 24/7, always there, but that's becoming more and more difficult. Not only are the healthcare aspects important, but the economic impact of hospitals to the state of Idaho is essential. We're over $9.3 billion that hospitals contribute to Idaho's economy. And that's not taking into account all the private physician practices, other clinics. That's just hospitals. Hospitals are responsible for over $17 billion in total economic activity around the state.
And with that said, Dr. Burgess, I want to talk a bit about how healthcare providers are viewed, in particular by policymakers. And this is not exclusive just to Idaho. I think there is this issue of how healthcare providers are seen by policymakers nationwide. And frankly, it seems that you're getting a more negative light put on you as healthcare providers, in particular in the wake of the COVID pandemic. So how has that impacted? Maybe it doesn't impact the work that you do, but I would think it would impact at least, you know, your own mental health sometimes.
Yeah, thank you for bringing that forward, Jim. I think it's had a huge impact on the healthcare workforce, not just physicians, but all aspects of healthcare. You know, in the last 3 to 4 years or five, I suppose, depending on when you want to count the beginning of things changing, it just seems like there's been more of an us versus them mentality, sometimes with our policymakers and sometimes with even our patients. And that's, everybody goes into healthcare to help people. That's why people want to do that job. It's a challenging job, but a very rewarding job. And all of our healthcare workers every day get up to do the right thing and make, you know, help people be healthy, help them recover from injury. And that's why we go to work. And so when there's pushback and people are doubting our motives or regulating what we do in a way that makes it impossible for us to practice according to the standards of care, that's really challenging, causes significant moral distress among our workforce.
Mm-hmm. And Dr. Burgess, you know, adding on to that, you've also seen a shortage in healthcare providers. And how then has that impacted exactly what you just talked about as well?
Well, I think a variety of things have contributed to that. I think we had a lot of people leave the workforce after the pandemic because of how difficult it was. We had some leave and go into what are called traveling positions for a couple of reasons. One is there was a lot of financial reward for those traveling positions. And another, because as you remember, COVID was kind of moving around the country. And so we actually had a need for people to go travel and go to the places where there were the highest incidence of need. So that's kind of how it began. But then it also turned into a little bit of a financial issue. And some people just never came back to the workforce. They left mm-hmm. to go do the traveling positions. They went to these ICUs that were overwhelmed and emergency departments that were overwhelmed. They saw a lot of death. They saw a lot of animosity, like we discussed. And they tapped out and said, I just can't do this anymore. So that's one aspect of our workforce shortage. And then the other aspect, of course, is we need new people to enter the healthcare fields. And I think that similarly, there were people that might have considered healthcare, and after they saw some of what happened, changed their mind and said, I don't think I really want to go into that field because of the risk to my personal health, the long, potentially long hours, and potentially some of the conflict that they saw develop.
Tony, have you seen what Dr. Burgess just talked about across the state? I mean, I would think that this issue in particular of a shortage in healthcare workers is something that we're seeing an impact across the entire state. But is it also then hitting different parts of the state more dramatically based on maybe, you know, population?
Yeah, when we meet with our members around the state and say, what's keeping you up at night and what do you want us to work on, consistently from every area of the state are workforce issues and workforce shortages. A close second is financial viability for some of our facilities, but it does hit some parts of the state more than others. And because of that, I would say we're becoming even more and more reliant on each other. Our rural facilities are becoming more and more connected to our larger hospital systems in Boise and Idaho Falls and Coeur d'Alene because they can't function on their own. They need those specialty services. They need those trauma services. They need those things. And they have to have a relationship and a place to send patients in Idaho to get the care they need. So we right now, you know, have 24 of Idaho's 44 counties do not have labor and delivery services other than the emergency department if it's an emergency. So those patients are all needing to be transferred or transported to other facilities. So it's I'm really proud actually of how our hospitals are working together right now. I think they're collaborating more than I've ever seen in my many years of health policy.
Go ahead, Dr.
Silver lining of the pandemic actually is we really had to, but that fortunately that has carried over and we've been able to continue to collaborate on other issues besides just the pandemic.
And if I could just add one more thing that I think people don't realize, you know, if one doctor leaves a community, if it's a small rural community, that one doctor or one pharmacist or one OB nurse could be the difference between a line of services being offered in that community or not. Mm. We're talking about individual providers making all the difference in the world to whether or not a community has access to services.
And when you say that, Tony, sometimes I think it's difficult for maybe folks who live, let's say, in the Treasure Valley, where the majority of the population is, right? We have more options when it comes to healthcare. Not to say that the healthcare system is not critically overwhelmed here in the Treasure Valley, but I think in some ways we do not feel it in the ways that our rural communities do. So how important is it that those of us who may have more options understand really the destabilization of healthcare in our state?
Well, for me, a key example was what recently happened in Caldwell. When West Valley Medical Center decided to close their labor and delivery services for a number of reasons, but one of the reasons being their inability to recruit enough providers to the community. Caldwell is not a tiny rural, you know, critical access hospital. Caldwell is a booming community that's doing, you know, has a economic development plan that is, I think, has been quite successful in many areas. We're not just talking about tiny rural towns anymore. We are going to feel the impact on these shortages and this destabilization in areas that I think we've had the luxury before of not having to worry about these things. We need to be more aware of these moving forward.
Mm-hmm. And Dr. Burgess, before I let both of you go, what would you like people to understand when it comes to the state of healthcare in Idaho right now?
You know, I think the first and foremost is that our healthcare workers want to be helpful. You know, we're there to take care of the population And that's our mission every day when we get up and go to work. And that hasn't changed. We're still there and still available to help care for the population. However, we're under some duress, and I think that is already been discussed, right? The workforce shortage, but also the legal climate is tough right now, and not just Idaho. You're right. There are other states that have a similar legal climate, but we have folks that are ethically obligated to provide a certain standard of care. And when that conflicts with a law that says they could lose their license and have to go to jail or be fined or some other penalty, that's a real challenge. And it's starting to affect, well, it's already affected us losing doctors, but also affecting recruitment, as Tony said. So we really need to look at unintended consequences. I think a lot of these policies were intended to do one thing, but they have downstream effects. And it's hard for people to recognize that if they don't work in healthcare, because healthcare is a very complicated field. So just recognizing that there are some things that are really challenging to legislate because they have additional effects, and hopefully increasing some collaboration between the public and the healthcare workers, as well as our legislature and the healthcare workers. Those are kind of my main themes.
Well, I want to thank both of you for taking time to talk with us today. Such important information for people to understand right now. We've been talking with Dr. Patrice Burgess, the Chief Medical Officer with St. Alphonsus, and Tony Lawson, Vice President of Government Relations for the Idaho Hospital Association. As I mentioned at the beginning of our conversation, the City Club of Boise is hosting a panel on the destabilization of healthcare. This will be August 22nd, and there are tickets still available for that. Thanks so much for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR Network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Gemma Gaudette. We'll see you tomorrow.
New from the Embedded podcast. Female athletes have always needed grit and talent. But for decades, they've also needed a certificate.
There was chit-chat about, is that really a woman?
And even now, they're still being checked and questioned. Their story is the newest series from CBC and NPR's Embedded. It's called Tested. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.